Anyway, it is really a privilege to be here. This church in particular, and you folks in general, have been a great blessing to us this week and in times past too. And you're a great example of what a church ought to be. And your pastor has been a major encouragement to my son and to myself. And when I come to a place like this, I try and pick things up, you know, and take them back with us. I want our church to be what it ought to be. And like I said before, you serve as a great example.
Amen.
We've been singing all morning about how good God is.
Amen.
How great God is. How worthy God is. And I don't think there's one here today that would dispute that. We'd say, with all that is within us, God, you are so good to me. And yet, we'll go away from this place this morning, and we'll nitpick, and we'll complain, and we'll fuss, and we'll whine, and we'll fume, and we will be offended at God. The fact is, folks, if we're honest with ourselves, we who are so bad complain about Him who is so good so much of the time.
Amen.
You know, there was a bit of a mountaintop here this morning, but we don't live our lives on the mountaintop. We live our lives on the valleys, on the plains, on the deserts. And it seems like in times like that, we start to complain. It's an amazing thing how we can find offense with God. You see, some of you who came to the altar, perhaps some of you who came to the altar this morning, will not be here next year. Some of you who are faithful in church last Sunday won't be in church this Sunday. It's like, you know, we're on one day and off the next. I don't know what that's all about. We're so inconsistent. We're so fickle. We're so changeable. And God is unchangeable. I want to preach this morning, if I can, a message called "Doth This Offend Thee?" We are so easily offended. We live in such a politically correct society. We are so thin-skinned. I mean, if we rub against somebody, it just...
Amen.
I mean, it's an amazing thing how that we can get so easily offended. When I get up this morning, I looked in the mirror. I got offended. I did. Now, if you're honest with yourself, you should have been offended too. Because what you saw in that mirror was a pile of flesh. What you saw in that mirror was nothing that is going to inherit heaven. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, right? When you looked in that mirror, that should have been just a little bit repulsive, a little bit repugnant, a little bit tough on the stomach. I remember as a kid, I looked in the mirror and I thought my nose was crooked. Then later on, I found it was my face. My nose was straight, but my face was crooked. Things just aren't the way they should be. You get offended at that? Ought not to. This is the flesh. Somebody's walking around with my legs. Seriously, from here up, I should be about 6 feet tall. But somebody's got my legs. And if you have them, would you please return them? We get so easily offended, though, don't we?
Amen.
Doesn't take much to offend us. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 165, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." I think we'd all say, you know, hey, preacher, I love the Word of God. It's the King James Bible. I would accept nothing less. It's perfect. It does not need revision or correction or change. It's just the way God intended it to be. I love the Word of God. And then the next breath we get offended when somebody preaches from it. We're kind of like a bunch of Ahabs getting ready to go up to Ramoth Gilead. You get Micaiah in there and say, "Don't tell me anything but the truth."
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, brother.
And then when he tells them the truth, he has them thrown in jail.
Yeah.
I just want to preach this message for one purpose. That you might stay in the fight. That you might stay in church. That you might be faithful to the Lord. In John chapter 16, don't turn there for sake of time, 16 verse 1, the Bible says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended."
Amen.
You understand offenses are going to come. It's how you deal with them that will make the difference.
Amen.
But Psalm 119, verse 165, that's an amazing thing. I want us to look at some passages in Scripture this morning of instances where people got offended with God. You can be a good person in quotations. You can be a good church member. You can be a faithful Christian. You can be a good man by many people's standards, and yet you can get offended at God if you're not careful. I want you to turn there in your Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And when we get to John chapter 6, just idle your engines for a second, and we're going to pray. John chapter 6. You know, what could somebody say about you today that wouldn't be true? Why, you lowlife? Guilty. You liar, you thief. I've been there, done that. Really, what could somebody say about you that should offend you? You're a worm. But we get offended when somebody says, you ladies, you ask your husbands, does this dress look nice on me? Who am I to judge? I really don't know. I shouldn't lie, right? But you can't tell the truth. Because she can't handle it. Don't ask your husband, do I look fat? If you're not prepared for the truth. She spends all these time making meals, you know, and she spreads this bread before. I'm a very traditional person. Meat, potatoes, green vegetables, that'll do it for me. All right? But my wife likes to experiment sometimes. And she'll put some kind of fancy dish in front of me and she'll say, well, what do you think? And I'll say, it's really good. Well, you would too, right? No, I say, no, it's really good for what it is. And then I follow that up with, what is it? She's learned not to get offended at that. But there for a while, things were pretty tense. John chapter 6, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here this week. Lord, thank you for the preaching that we've already heard. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the Spirit of God who moves in the hearts of these preachers and have them preach what they preach. Lord, you know what our needs are when we don't. And so, Lord, this morning, would you please just help us? Help me. Lord, we're so fickle. We're so changeable. We're so unreliable, so disloyal, so unfaithful. Just please help us today to learn some things so that when we face them, either later today or down the road, we'll not get so easily offended. We'll understand that these offenses come and it's how we deal with them that will make the difference. Lord, help us not to be quitters. Help us to finish the race and finish it well, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 6 and verse 59. The Lord's been doing some teaching here. And he's been teaching some things that they have not heard before. And it shocks the socks off them. You get upset, you get all bent out of shape when you hear something you've never heard before. You know, the Bible says that you're a noble person if you search the Scriptures and see if these things are so. Don't just throw them out the window, out of hand. Examine the Scriptures, find out if there's any validity to it. But by all means, be teachable. John chapter 6, verse 59. John chapter 6, verse 59 says, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that this his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh that profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Listen, if you're going to be in a church for any amount of time, if you're going to benefit from the preaching, you're going to have to sit and be wounded every now and then. You're going to have to be cut every now and then. You're going to have the Word of God get under your skin. You see, so much of Christianity today is simply superficial. It's just skin deep. But the whole idea of preaching is to get under your skin and to get to the meat of the matter. And we need to allow the Word of God, the sword of truth, that two-edged sword,
Amen.
To pierce us.
Amen.
But boys, I'll tell you what, some people get in church and they're sitting there and the preacher says something that they don't agree with or something they haven't heard before, and out the door they go.
Yeah.
I love it when they come to the door and they say, I really appreciated the music this morning. And then on they go. That tells me they didn't appreciate the preaching much. But that's okay. Some preaching will hurt. You need to expect that. Hurts to help. You've got to be hurt sometimes before you can get well. You know, we're talking with Brother Charlie there and the possibility of needing surgery. Well, you know, sometimes that's what's necessary in the heart of a believer. God has to do some surgery. Surgery's painful. You know, nobody enjoys being corrected. Nobody enjoys being reproved. Nobody enjoys being rebuked. Nobody enjoys being instructed, for that matter. But it's necessary if we're going to have any kind of righteousness, any fruits of righteousness in our lives. We need to learn to be exercised by the Word of God. I'll tell you what, we live in an age where people hear it, but they don't do it. They hear it, but they're like Teflon. Nothing sticks. It just flows away. Listen, folks, if you're going to last in this race, if you're going to finish this race, you're going to have to be able to take some hard sayings.
Amen.
Remember, Paul, he rebuked Peter to his face. Why? Because he was to be blamed.
Amen.
Peter stayed in the race. Peter said over there that there were some hard sayings in those epistles that Paul had written. And some people who did not understand what was written, they would wrest those scriptures to their own destruction.
Right.
And that's what we see in a lot of Christians today. Something they don't understand, they twist it and they distort it and they mutate it to where they destroy themselves with it.
Yeah.
Folks, you need to take some hard preaching. You need to take some teaching.
Amen.
You need to have a teachable spirit to where somebody can show you something that maybe you don't know. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, I think it is, in verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8, 2, and if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him.
Amen.
There's the difference between having a head of knowledge and a heart of love.
Yeah.
That's it right there. Head, heart. None of us know things as we ought to know. I believe that we have the distinctives down. I believe we have our doctrine straight for the most part. But I'm sure that when we get to heaven, even Baptists will be called aside and the Lord might say, you know what? Appreciate your zeal in that matter. Appreciate your intentions. But you know what? You were wrong there. You overlooked this. You maybe put too much emphasis on that and not enough on this. Come on, folks. We're not perfect. Don't expect your preacher to be perfect. Well, I didn't like the way he said that. Well, he probably didn't either. Well, he shouldn't have got mad. You ever get mad? Allow him that liberty sometimes.
Yeah.
We don't call it mad, though. We call it righteous indignation. That's better. We can handle that.
Yeah.
The preacher seemed a little upset this morning. Well, maybe that's because he sees that there's sin in the camp.
Yeah.
Maybe he's trying to address a problem so it doesn't explode.
Yeah.
Cut him a little slack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He ain't hard. You need to get to know the man who preaches the Word of God to you. You need to get to know his heart. You get to know his heart, you'll overlook some of those aggravating things. You have to have some grace with the man of God just like he has to have some grace with you. Now, he has to have a grace with a lot of people. You only have to have grace with one. Offended. You won't go far if you get offended at hard sayings. You need to stop your boozing. You need to stop your carousing. You need to stop your immorality. You need to stop retard. It's necessary. You need to stop your lying, your cheating, your swindling, your dishonesty. How did he know that? You're human, aren't you? But I'm saved. I know you're saved, but you're as guilty as sin. You're pardoned. Don't ever think that somehow or other when you got saved, you were no longer guilty. You're guilty. I'm guilty. I'm simply pardoned. You know, when the two thieves say were on the cross, one went to hell and he said, "I don't deserve this." The other went to paradise and said, "I don't deserve this." Man, don't get offended at some hard sayings. Look over there at Matthew chapter 13. I'm getting ahead of myself. Matthew chapter 11. John the Baptist. I think he was a pretty good guy, don't you? I mean, the Lord had held him in high estimation. Not a greater prophet born of woman, I mean, than John the Baptist. John the Baptist, great man. And I'm not trying to belittle John the Baptist, but you know, John the Baptist got offended. You say, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin? Yeah, he got offended. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." You see, John the Baptist didn't plan on going to prison. John the Baptist planned on ushering in the kingdom. He was the forerunner. He was saying, "Hey, here's your Messiah! Receive Him! He came in the spirit of Elias! Receive the Lord Jesus Christ! He's your Messiah! He's your awaited King! Here He is!" And they didn't receive Him. He got thrown into jail. And Jesus didn't seem to be rallying the forces. It didn't seem like He was going to storm the Bastille, you know. It didn't seem like He was going to come and deliver John. John's thinking, "Wow, should we be looking for another? Is this really the Messiah?" Think about that. John, who had preached with all his heart, with all his soul, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." He took a lot of heat for that. He was ostracized for that. He was a loner. He preached his heart out. And now he's questioning and wondering whether it's so. You know, sometimes preachers try to start churches and preachers, missionaries, you name it, full-time workers, they're in service for the Lord and they're giving it their all and this and that and the other thing, and things just aren't turning out the way they thought they would. Yeah. Things just seem a little slow. You know, there are times when you can begin to wonder whether God's in this or not. I mean, what's going on, Lord?
Amen.
We get a little offended. How come brother so-and-so is being blessed and I'm not? How come? You know what it is? It's this. When God doesn't meet our expectations, we get offended. What are your expectations? When you get saved, what did you think it was going to be? A rose garden? You know, it may be a rose garden, but every rose garden has thorns in it. What did you expect? Were you listening to some prosperity gospel preacher?
Yeah.
You know, the road to heaven is not paved with gold, it's paved with blood. What about that? Has God met your expectations? What did you expect? You know, part of the call is suffering. If you suffer with me, you shall also reign with me. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What were you expecting? Well, I didn't think my family was going to get upset with me. I didn't think I was going to lose that promotion. I didn't think I was going to lose my popularity. I didn't think I was going to lose my status. I thought everything was going to be status quo. God's not meeting my expectations. I thought when I began to tithe and when I began to give the missions that I would get a raise. I thought that if I drove my car and picked people up for Sunday school, you know, in church, that God would give me a new car. You know, some of our expectations are ridiculous. They're crazy. Just like some of you young people, when you get married, you know, married, wow, that's the next thing to heaven. Might be. Might go the other way. sure you have God's direction on that thing. What may appear up to you may be down. I just want to live with Him. He's like God to me. Might be the devil in disguise. What are your expectations? What are your expectations? What about the family who is expecting that little baby to be born? Their expectations, because they're faithful in church, because they love God, because they're serving God, they expect that that baby is going to be born whole, that it's going to have all its members, all its faculties, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. But you know what? That's not always the case, is it? You're going to get offended at God when it's not? You know, no child should ever die before their parent, but they do. You got to get offended at God when that happens? I'll tell you what, God is aware of all that's happening. He knows what's happening. You know, when all is said and done, it's just God and you. Sometimes if we get idolatrous and we start to worship our family, we start to worship our job, we start to worship our things, we say, you know, any number of things that we might worship, you know, God may have a just want to strip those away from us. And you know what? At the end of the day, we'd have to say it's for our good. Because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You say, what do you know of that? Well, I lost my parents when I was a kid. I grew up without parents. I lost my brother in 1994. He was the one who was the Christian influence in our family. He was the one who was the witness and testimony in our family. I remember my sister saying to me, why did God take him? I said, probably because he was the most ready. I know what it's like to lose people you love. Unexpectedly. God gave me a father-in-law who was a father to me. And I learned most of what I learned from him. And he died at the age of 69. He was strong as an ox. He was the kind of man that you thought would always be there. But he's not there now. But you know what? I thank God for the 23 years I knew him. I thank God for the 23 years we had. I thank God for the exposure to a man of God to where I could, like a sponge, soak it in. And I'm living off the excess right now. You know what? When things don't happen the way you think they should happen, maybe you should just thank God for the way they are. And trust Him, and trust Him that He knows better than you what you need. Yep, when God doesn't meet our expectations, we get offended in Him. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. You know, some Christians, I say some Christians, some believers, never actually become Christians, if you know what I mean. A Christian is someone who is Christ-like. A Christian is someone who manifests Christ in this world. There are a lot of believers that manifest just about everything else but Christ in this world. But shallow believers get offended. Verse 20, Matthew 13, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. You know what? There are people in our community that don't really want to be identified with our church because we're King James only. That's a cult. We sacrifice babies. When we started out in Bridgewater, we started out in a house and then we moved to a storefront. I remember knocking on a door and the lady said, oh, you're the pastor of that storefront church? I said, yes. She said, you come in, we have some questions for you. And I was thinking, okay, we're going to deal with some theological questions here. We get in there and she says, are you a gay church? Well, no. No. I said, why would you think we were? She said, well, because why in the world would you meet in a storefront? Well, I said, because that's what God gave us.
Amen.
See, the idea of an independent Baptist church was just totally foreign to her. The idea of meeting in anything but some kind of palace with the, you know, cathedral ceilings and spires to heaven. I mean, but you get, you know, I wasn't offended, by the way, at that. But, well, the second, yeah, I was, actually. But I get over it. I get over it. She was speaking out of ignorance. We're friendly, but not that friendly. But you know, when you get saved, you got to understand you're not going to fit in with the mainstream. You got to understand you're not going to be one of those dead fish floating downstream anymore. You're going to be like a salmon. You know, you're going upstream. You know, you're going to fight against the flow. You're going to go against the course of this world. You're going to be the fly in the ointment. Now, if you find that offensive, you a fly. I don't want to be a fly. How about a worm? Face it, folks. We are nothing outside of Jesus Christ. But in Christ, we are anything He wants us to be. I am all things to all men, and by all means I might save some. That's what Paul said. So if it takes you being a fly, be a fly. What I'm saying is this. Don't get offended when people kind of look at you strange. Don't get offended when people misinterpret and misunderstand you. Don't get offended when you are rebuffed, when you are put aside, when you are kind of ostracized and you're put outside the camp. Don't get offended at that. It's part of the territory. Now, don't be an obnoxious idiot and plan for it and work for it. It'll just happen. Let God do it. You know, you separate yourself unto God, the world will separate from you. But don't get offended. Don't get offended when people don't ask you to come to lunch with them. Don't get offended when they don't ask you to come to the bars anymore. That should be a compliment. That should be a blessing. I remember when I first got saved, people would say, oh, why did you come here and why did you come there? And I said, listen, I wouldn't want to rain on your party. What do you mean? I said, I wouldn't enjoy it. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. God would not approve of me being there. And once I was there, you wouldn't approve of me being there either. You know, draw your lines. Let them be known. But I'll tell you what, a lot of people, they don't put down any roots. They don't study their Bible. They don't read their Bible. They don't pray. They're not faithful to services. They're not faithful in their witnessing. They're not faithful in the very elementary things of Christian life. They're just not faithful. How can you expect to stand when the wind blows? How can you expect not to be uprooted? You're going to get offended. You're going to get offended. You need to put roots down. I can't stand it when people say, well, I attend such and such a church. Well, why don't you become a part of it? You see, there are two kinds of Christians. There are ticks and there are fleas. Fleas, they just fly around and jump from one body to another. Now, a tick, you got to admire a tick. He bores in there, he gets right down there where the blood is, and he stays. You try and get a tick. Try and get a tick out once he's embedded. You got to work on him. Why? Because he's serious. He's committed. It's like the pig and the chicken. The pig and the chicken are sitting on the side of the road and they see a truck go by with ham and eggs on the side. And the pig says to the chicken, for you, a good day's work. For me, a total commitment. It's true. You got to be totally committed. I used to work at a psychiatric hospital and people used to think I was committed, but I wasn't. They would let me go home on the weekends. But man, don't be so shallow. Get some depth. Get some substance. Don't always be clinging to shadows and mirages. Get some substance. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Saturate yourself with the Word of God. Look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54. You know, we ought to be able to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. You know, when God blesses somebody in our midst, we ought to be able to say with an honest heart, thank God. I don't know who it is, but somebody, whenever they come up here, somebody's saying, bless him, Lord, bless him, Lord. Well, amen. That's what we should be saying. Bless them, Lord. Bless her, Lord. Bless them. But some of us are so stingy and greedy and jealous that unless God's blessing us, we don't want anybody to be blessed. God, don't bless that church because we're in competition with that. They don't know that. The church does not. But I know it. Don't bless that preacher because I'm next. If you bless him too much, then I won't look so good. Matthew 13, 54, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? They weren't denying that he was wise, and they weren't denying that he had mighty works. They just didn't know where they came from. They said, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Isn't that an amazing thing? How God can use somebody and you can't rejoice over it. And you're their brother. You're their sister. Is it that bad? Are we that envious? Are we that jealous? Are we that greedy? Are we that stingy that we can't rejoice over God blessing somebody else? God have mercy on us if we're in that kind of state. My, oh my. You know what? The Bible likens the church not to some kind of corporation, but to the home. And we're a bunch of little snotty-nosed kids. You know how it is. She's got a bigger piece. How come she's got a bigger piece? Mommy, you love her more than you love me. Daddy, he's got a bigger bicycle. I know, he's about 6 inches taller than you. That's why he's got a bigger bicycle. I remember Brandon, I got to tell you that. Brandon, he always get caught. Didn't matter what, he'd get caught. And I remember him sitting there after we disciplined him. So how'd you discipline him? I'll tell you later. Anyway, he's sitting there in bed and he's saying, I can't get away with anything. And I said, you should thank God for that. Be sure your sin will find you out. I can see what pages in the Sears catalog were turned over. You got a parent, you got to be watching. He couldn't get away with anything. He said, you might as well just throw me out in the dump. That's what he said. That was just last week. No, not really. Not really. Not really. Oh. No, we tried to make sure that we treated our kids fairly and equitably and everything. I think God's a pretty good father. I think we can trust Him to make sure that all His children get what they need. Maybe that brother, maybe that sister needed just a little pat on the back. And just because you didn't get one, don't get all bent out of shape. When you need one, maybe you'll get one too. If your attitude is right. You know, I grew up without a father, and so I was always looking for approval. And when I got married and had my father-in-law, and I said he became like a father to me, I was always looking for his approval. And his wisdom, he knew that. And so he never gave it to me. No, it wasn't that. He was not one to hand out compliments. He was not one to pat you on the back and this and that and the other thing. But every once in a while, I remember asking him, I said, listen, how come when so-and-so gets to preach, you say what a fine message it was. When I get to preach, you say, okay, let's sing. How come? What's wrong? This was years later, and he said, well, it's this. He said, I knew you didn't have a father growing up, and I knew you wanted my approval. And I wanted you to understand that you don't need my approval, you need God's approval. There were times when his reaction, response to me, offended me. I thank God I kept my mouth shut. But inside it hurt. Inside it cut. But looking back, thank God for the cuts. Thank God for the wounds. Thank God for the injuries. Because that's what I needed. You see, he said, if I had given you my approval, then you would have been satisfied with that. What satisfies you? Why do you do what you do? Why do you live like you live? You ought to be seeking God's approval. But when God wants to exalt you, let Him exalt you. When God wants to single you out, let Him single you out. If He doesn't, be happy with that. You know, God never called us to be great. He just called us to be faithful. Nobody great here. Now, God has done some great things through some people. But there aren't any great people here. He's a great man of God! No, he's a man of God, and he serves a great God.
Amen.
It bothers me. I know what people mean when they say so-and-so built such a work, and so-and-so built such a work. Well, if they built the work, then... Now, God built the work through them. I think we need... Somebody said, we don't need to say that. We understand what they mean. But I think sometimes we do need to say it. Because like the preacher said last night, I think sometimes we get a little full of ourselves and we forget what we are. You know, and this is... I'll be real brief with this, but we got to be careful in Bible-believing circles that we don't raise up icons and idols. Yesterday, the world mourned Michael Jackson. Now, I don't know what you think of Michael Jackson, but what much of what Michael Jackson was, the world made him. They created an idol. They ruined him. And then now they try to deify him. The world has a way of raising idols and then crashing them down and then having some kind of great big celebration over all that they had done or didn't. All I'm saying is, listen, we don't need any Christian celebrities. We don't need any Christian idols. Thank God for men of God and women of God who are faithful to Him. And we should esteem those highly for their work's sake. Don't get me wrong. But we better be careful that we don't idolize them. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. Self-righteous people get offended easily. That's why I was saying, what could somebody say about you that wouldn't be true? You adulterer! You say, I'm not an adulterer. I'm faithful. How's the thought life?
Amen.
Your eyes staying in your head? You know, where your eyes go, your heart follows. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7, ye hypocrites. And I'd have to plead guilty to that. I'm not proud to say that, but I'd have to plead guilty. If I was in a court of law and they began to point out my inconsistencies, it wouldn't be hard to prove that. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered, But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. I know of our way, sometimes people put fake flowers in their flower beds to make them look just a little fuller and richer. Don't fool anybody. Verse 14, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's necessary to offend the self-righteous.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So long as they are content in their self-righteousness, they will never seek the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
They've got to see that their righteousnesses are as but filthy rags in the sight of God. Sometimes you need to be pointed. Sometimes you need to be pretty abrupt and say, you know, hey,
amen,
all that glitters is not gold. You may think you look fine, but you smell bad.
Amen.
Seriously, you can't judge everything by the way it looks.
Amen.
Back in the 15th century, you know why they started using flowers at weddings? It's because they only took one bath a year.
Amen.
And the bride had that bouquet of flowers to kind of make things a little more tolerable.
Yeah.
She looks so nice, but smell her. You know, our self-righteousness is a stench in the nostrils of God. You know, if you, and God forbid, but if you wanted to come up with something that would insult God, what do you think would be the most insulting thing that you could put before God? I'll tell you what the most insulting thing to God is our self-righteousness. Because who is Jesus Christ but the righteousness of God? And when we put our righteousness up against His righteousness, that's an insult. That's an insult. When we say we don't need Him, we're sufficient in and of ourselves, that is an insult. That is an affront. That is offensive to God. Our self-righteousness is an offense. And so Jesus Christ was simply pointing out that these people who taught for doctrines the commandments of men, they were making the Word of God of none effect. They had to be exposed. Don't you get upset when your preacher preaches about the churches and the preachers and all those false prophets who preach falsehoods and lies. Well, I don't think you should talk about anybody else's religion. Take it up with Jesus. He called the Pharisees hypocrites. And that was mild. He was just getting warmed up.
Amen.
Oh, I'm not saying you don't use any tact. I'm not saying you don't use any sensitivity. I'm just saying that falsehood, lies, they need to be exposed. Up our way, they say, how come you're not part of the ministerial assassination? And I say, well, it's because we don't believe the same things. We can't even get together on salvation, let alone anything that comes after. So why would I be a part of that? I'd simply offend them. Matthew 26. We're almost done. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. You ever have someone who's maybe extremely ill, or maybe someone who's lost and near death, and you are praying with all that's within you that this person will get saved, or you're just praying for some kind of deliverance from some kind of terrible situation that you find yourself in, and you know that God has the power. You know that God can. But then when He doesn't, when He doesn't use the power that He has, does that offend you? It's a little bit different than not meeting your expectations. When you know that God can do anything, and everything, and He does nothing. Does that offend you? When Jesus Christ was in that garden, He prayed, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." In Hebrews, it tells us that He feared and He cried out to Him that could have saved Him. Is there anybody here that doubts that God the Father could have saved His Son? He could have, but He didn't. He didn't. And we get so offended when God perhaps and sometimes chooses not to save one of ours. Not to deliver one of ours. How dare you! Well, you see, God knows the end from the beginning. And He sees the big picture. If Jesus Christ had been spared that crucifixion, if He had been spared that death, where would we be? God was looking beyond His Son and seeing the fruit that would come from this death. His death was not without purpose. You know, sometimes we can magnify God more in our death than we do in our lives. God knows. But Matthew 26, verse 30, not only did Peter get offended, but all of the disciples got offended. Here He is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Verse 30, verse 31, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." You know, a lot of us would think that was a valiant statement, you know. That's an honorable statement. It's something that we would ascribe to, and yet it wasn't the thing to say, because it wasn't true. Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. But you know what? They were offended in him that night. Do you know why they were offended? When those people came with their little staffs and spears and whatever to take him, the man that they had seen raise the dead, the man that they had seen give sight to the blind, the man that they had seen heal the leper, the man that they had seen walk through the midst so many times before, all of a sudden now manifested absolutely no power. I mean, He even told them to get themselves some swords. And when Peter began to use his, what did Jesus do but rebuke him? Man, they couldn't understand this. They were offended. They were disillusioned. They just, what is going on here? How come you're letting them take you? How come you're going with them? You're not resisting. You're not showing us your power. You know, when was the last time God showed His power in your life? In a situation where you were at wit's end. When you were going down for the last time. Has there ever been a time where you prayed with all your might for deliverance and God didn't grant it? You get offended? You see, our idea of deliverance is to be taken from something. Oftentimes, God's deliverance is to take us through something. You know, when God removes you from every awkward situation, when God removes you from every difficult situation, when God removes you from every tragedy, when God you'll never get to know His power. You'll never get to know His strength. You'll never get to know His comfort. You'll never get to know what it means to be in the bosom, if you will, of the Lord. You just won't understand. Why? Because you're always being removed. Sometimes we need to go through some things. And these disciples, they needed to go through some things. Why? Because they were going to have to walk alone after this. When I say alone, the Lord was not going to be there physically with them. He was going to send His Spirit, yes. But to them, that was all a mystery. They needed to go through some things. Now, what we've talked about so far this morning is how that we, you know, God offends us. How that we ought not to be offended, but oftentimes are. Have you ever considered this? And we close with this. Have you ever considered that you and I might be an offense to Him? We are so consumed with ourselves. We are so consumed that we not be offended, that we not be bothered, that we not be inconvenienced. Has it ever occurred to you that we might be one grandiose offense to Him? Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 21. The Bible says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But He turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Right there. Guilty, guilty, guilty too many times. In the heart of the believer, how many times do we savor the things that are of men over the things that are of God? When you lay at a church on Sunday morning, when you lay at a church on Sunday night, when you lay at a church on Wednesday night, when you neglect your Bible reading, when you neglect your prayer life, when you neglect your witnessing, when you neglect the things of God, and in their places you substitute with the things of the world, that is an offense to God. Somebody says, "Why do I need to be faithful to church? Because otherwise you're an offense to God. Why do I need to love the Bible? Why do I need to read it? Why do I need to study it?" Well, there are a lot of reasons, but number one, if you don't, you're an offense to God. Why should I allow the Bible to shape me, mold me, define me? Why should I subject or submit myself to it? Why should I allow it to govern and direct my life? Because if you don't, you're an offense to God. You're an offense. We have to ask ourselves this morning this question. Are we offensive to God? Some of us are like little children. I remember when the kids are little and they're still in their diapers, they can load them up. And with that comes an aroma. They can put all kinds of stuff in their mouths and rub it all over their faces, and it can be a real mess. And then they can come running to you and want you to embrace them and hug them and love on them. And they don't know any better. They're just in ignorance. Sometimes I think we come to the Lord with dirty diapers. I think we come to the Lord sometimes with snot all over our faces and, "Take me up, Lord, and hug me. Take me up, Lord, and embrace me. I want that close fellowship. I want that intimacy." And the Lord said, "You need a bath. You need to have your diaper changed." Somebody says, "That's offensive, I don't wear diapers." No, but you did once. And don't get offended over some little thing like that. Because you love the Lord and you love the God of this book. You love the book of this God. You love the Word, right? And nothing shall offend you. Not even a short, fat Nova Scotian. No, folks, listen. We get too easily offended. And if you are like that, you're not going to finish the race.
Yep. Yep.
You're not going to finish. God wants you to finish. And these offenses come for our good. If God didn't want us to have these in our lives, He could remove them. If God didn't want us to be tested and tried in these ways, He could have us go another route. But no, these things come to strengthen us. They come to refine us. They come to define us. Your defining moment is how you do in the midst of a trial. That's where you shine. That's when you manifest Christ. So, Why do we say these things? That you shouldn't be offended. That's why. Because offenses will come. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your people. And just pray that something said this morning might have been some help. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.